This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, I'll be talking with Trist Curlis, who is one of six members of an a cappella male vocal group called MPACT. That's spelled M-PACT. And they're going to be at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston on the campus of Eastern Illinois University tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Hopefully weather won't prohibit either their getting here or your getting there to hear them. They've been called one of the best pop jazz vocal groups in the world by the San Francisco Chronicle, and who knows, maybe others. And we'll be hearing some samples of their work, and as I said, talking to Trist Curlis on the show today. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here's a performance by another local group. It's the University of Illinois Latin Jazz Ensemble from their disc called Art of the Dance. They're led by Tito Carrillo and Ricardo Flores.
Thank you.
We hear two performances by the University of Illinois Latin Jazz Ensemble from their disc called Art of the Dance from 2008. Caravan, made popular by Duke Ellington, who was one of the co-writers along with Juan Tizol, and somebody named Mills, whose first name I'm forgetting. I'm sorry about that. And then Tanga by Dizzy Gillespie. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay with us. Coming up, a conversation with a member of the vocal group Impact, who are going to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center and in Charleston tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. They have been named Vocal Group of the Year by the Los Angeles Music Awards. They have an indie nomination for Artist of the Year, an indie nomination with the Independent Grammy, and Artist of the Year for the Seattle Music Awards, Grand National Champions of the Harmony Sweepstakes Competition, and many other awards, nominations, and so on. And we'll be hearing some of them right now. Tune is called Come Together. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Trist Curlis, who is one of the singers, the six singers, in an a cappella group called, do you say it Impact or Impact?
Impact.
Impact, because it's spelled M-PACT.
That's correct.
And I'm sure there's a reason for that, which we'll hear in a moment, I'm guessing. And they're going to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I've listened to some of their music and have really enjoyed it, and I'm willing to bet that you will too. We just heard their rendition of Come Together, and I'm forgetting, Trist, where does that song come from? Who made that popular?
Well, our arrangement of it is quite a bit different, so that's probably what's throwing off. It is the Beatles.
The Beatles. Well, I'm just really bad at remembering where songs came from. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the name Impact.
The name Impact came from one of our original members of the group. Kind of a double meaning. We like our music to affect people. That's what's important to us about performing. What's the amazing, magical thing about being in front of people and sharing music. It's not about look at us, but listen to this music and listen to this message or this story or just this fun song, even if it's not really something that's deep or anything like that, but to affect a change in people. So to have an impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, but then kind of a clever spelling. And for us, when the group was born, it was kind of right in the middle of the last kind of boy band resurgence with all the pop groups, where music wasn't always necessarily the most important part of the group, and being musicians and really loving music itself so much, we wanted to make sure that that was the most important thing. So kind of, if you will, the PACT, P-A-C-T agreement that music, the M, will always come first with the group.
And you are all, I noted, musically educated in one way or another, and especially some of you, including yourself, in music education.
Right, yeah, I was a music education major at University of Northern Colorado, and everyone, yeah, studied some kind of music degree, whether it's just voice studies or music psychology of music, or even a few music business majors.
One of your members was even born right around these parts in our listening area in Bloomington, Illinois, Jarrett Johnson.
That's right. He's one of the newest members of the group. He's only been with us maybe about 8 months or so.
I noticed on the website that his bio makes a point of saying he spends a lot of time in the gym, and that his bulging muscles are supposed to be very important to your image somehow.
Well, they don't hurt, I got to tell you that. He is in good shape, I will say that for sure.
So I'm guessing from the sound of your speaking voice, and actually from a comment in your own biography, that you're the bass of the bass.
Yeah, I'm the bass singer for the group.
And you've got, but you've certainly got other low sounds. Why don't you talk about who has which roles of your six members vocally?
It varies a little bit depending on the music that we do. Throughout a performance, we'll have some pieces that are a little, almost more choral, more like just a six-part vocal group happening, where we basically all take on the roles of just singers in various ranges. And in that case, I'm kind of just play the role of the lowest voice, the bass singer. But then we have a lot of tunes that are like Come Together that you heard, is that, you know, we got kind of like a rhythm section, like a drums and bass. So there's a guy that does the beatboxing kind of vocal percussion sounds for the drums. And I then take on more of a role of what the bass player does rather than the bass singer. So then it almost turns into kind of groups of us either emulating a keyboard sound or emulating guitar sounds, emulating horn sounds, or really just being like background singer. So sometimes it's like Jeff Smith, who does our drums. It's like he and I become the rhythm section for the rest of this singing group almost. Kind of think of it that way, just because the music comes off a little differently and our roles are a little different from there. So part-wise, it's usually about the same. I'm usually on the very bottom, and then Morten is a baritone, even though he came to us from a group in Denmark where he was actually the top voice in his group, but he was interested in the challenge of singing a lower part. So he's the baritone. Up from there would then be Jeff, and then Marco, and then Jared and Fletcher. And even Jared and Fletcher, Marco can switch around up on those top soprano and alto and high tenor parts, depending on the song.
So the lead voice probably gets passed around as well, I imagine.
Absolutely.
How did you all come together?
The original formation of the group happened. There was a core of us that were at the University of Northern Colorado, where I was at school, and Marco was up at the University of Washington. We had a mutual friend that kind of connected us, said, "Hey, I think you guys kind of think alike about what you kind of want from a group like this. You should get together and start a group," and we did. And over the 15 years of doing it, like any other band or company or group of folks, people come and go as their lives change and need to go do other things, pursue other ventures. So it has changed a bit over the years, and every time that's happened, it's really just been sending out word in the community of vocal groups and musicians that we know to kind of find someone to fill the spot we have. So that's kind of basically it, really. The foundation really comes from just a mutual friend helping us see that we had the same vision. And from then, as we have needed people, we have just been fortunate enough to find some pretty fine singers along the way.
You and Marco are you the two co-members left?
That's right. We're the two remaining crazy people that still do this.
And what have you noticed, if anything, of changes that have happened as different people have come in and out of the group?
Wow. The biggest learning experience is really just the dynamics of a group when you add one different person. We have two here recently, so it's probably a bigger change in our whole group dynamic as well as the sound than any of the previous changes, where there's usually only been, one member. I think going into it, I probably assumed that if it was one of our prominent lead voices, that would be, a bigger difference in what we do and how we sound. And as it's turned out, even just a middle part that doesn't end up singing a lot of solos, just the way that their voice fits in the music just does different things. So every time we have a new person, it's almost like an entire new group, not just the same group with someone plugged in. It really does feel a lot more different than I probably would have anticipated. But it's been fun, and we've learned right away to adapt and not force that person to kind of fill the role of the person before, but to do as much as we can, at least, to let that person be themselves and contribute what they can contribute. And we take advantage of the new person's strengths instead of trying to make them have the old person's strengths.
Are you a full-time touring group?
Right now, we are not. We were at one point when we lived in Seattle. We lived in Seattle for about the first, 8 years of our existence, and we a lot of times did tour. Tour all over the world, and we were so busy that we did not have time to really do anything work-wise and didn't need it when we were home. As that work thinned out a little bit, we moved to Los Angeles, which helped us individually work in the music industry and doing a lot of other, you know, a lot of other things individually, which has really actually made the whole group stronger.
In what way?
Every person now in the group, kind of, instead of, you know, we don't get burnt out on the group, I think, and everyone can kind of flex their muscles in another area, whether it's being a sound engineer or an arranger for another group, a producer, a studio musician singing on TV and movies, commercials, etc. So while also, of course, you know, logistically providing income, which is great. Really, it just lets people flex their other muscles so they don't get bored with Impact or tired of doing the same old thing. And then when we come back together, because we have a tour coming up, it's kind of like, oh, hey, I remember you guys. I like you. This is fun. So I think that's been really great on many fronts for us to move to Los Angeles and do some other things musically, individually.
I had a conversation on the show on Friday with a member of the Parker String Quartet, and I had asked her, you know, since they started out as friends, I said, are you still friends or something like that? She said, well, as close as we can be when you have four people who see each other every day and spend so much time,
right?
Which I thought was an interesting way around the question. So maybe this is the way to stay friends.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I don't think there was ever a time that we weren't when we were as busy, but you just learn, like, you know, like having a family. Like, we're really kind of like brothers, you know. Do anything for each other, and, you know, you're around each other enough that you can, you know what buttons to push and things like that, and you just learn to plan your, you know, time to have some time to yourself, and even just little minor things like, you know, being sure that you have your own rooms when you travel and things that might seem, you know, almost diva-like, but it just like, wow, I just need time to myself, you know. After traveling all day with you, I don't want to have to share a room with you, et cetera. You know, you just learn to do things that'll keep it all healthy, and I think we've done a good job at that.
Well, I noticed on your website that for most of you, you have a more about Trist section where you talk about favorite foods, movies, and stuff like that. And you have five things that make you happy, and I noticed that the fifth one is Marco, and then you have five things that make you angry, and the fifth one is Marco.
Exactly.
So I guess that's what you're just talking about.
That says it all.
Well, let's hear another song. We're talking with Trist Curlis, who is the bass voice with a group called Impact. They're going to be at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And why don't we listen to this Masquerade? And here's another one. I forget who made this song popular.
Well, the original artist that did this and wrote this song is Leon Russell. Great songwriter. Also did, I believe, Superstar. What's the other one? The Donny Hathaway tune.
I'm not going to be able to help you.
A Song for You. So he's a great songwriter. Usually the songs that he's written are more known by their performances by other people. And this one was probably made most famous by George Benson.
Ah, there we go. That's who I was thinking of then. This Masquerade, sung here by Impact on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. a song, well, you probably, well, many of you probably know it, this Masquerade, sung here by Impact on Live and Local. Impact is going to be singing at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And on the phone with us is Trist Curlis, who is one of six members of the group. It is an a cappella group, and Trist, I was really interested in some, well, as you said, the at the beginning in how your name came about, that you wanted music to be especially important. But I also noticed comments on your website that talk about auto-tune that many pop groups, and including a cappella groups, use, and various kinds of overproduction, particularly in, well, both in live performance and also on recordings. And I commented on this when you initially sent me some sound files, and I said, do you have anything that, and have anything more that are done live?
Mm-hmm.
And the one I just played was your live version of this Masquerade, and you said to me, well, if you listen to the live one and the studio version, you won't find much difference. And you were really quite right. So that rings up two questions. What's your issue with auto-tune and overproduction? And how do you make your live performances, well, sound so well produced?
Well, a few things to tackle there. First of all, the thing with auto-tuning, there are several programs and pieces of equipment that have been made, in the last 10 years, maybe in 20 years, that have just developed and become better and better. I'm not against the technology or the equipment. It's actually quite amazing. Even as a producer, I've used it many times on vocals, and there are even maybe some places we might have even used it on a couple of recordings if you're recording something and it's just something you just want to tweak it just a little bit. It's mostly the application of it and the use of it. Personally, maybe not as a group, but my particular issue with it currently is that the thing is when that application is applied to this group of vocals, when it's put on too much for my taste, what it does is not only does it kind of tune the vocals and put them in tune with each other, which is great, we all want that, but it adds an effect. So an effect more like adding reverb or something. And it's become kind of the affected sound of the era right now. It's kind of a hot sound. If you're making a particular kind of a record for a big record company and you've got the hot new group and you want this new single, just like any era of music, you usually, most producers are looking for that sound that everyone likes to listen to right now because you want it to be on the radio because et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So whereas, in the 80s, there was a particular, reverb, this really deep, long reverb that seemed to be on every song you ever heard. If you go to that era, that's what lets you know it's that sound right away. It's usually some of the synthesizers and the drums were kind of all electronic, but mostly the reverb on the recordings is like stamps it in that time period. So for me, for right now, that's kind of what the producers are up against. They could have a record where the background vocals or the group vocals are actually really sung really well in tune in the first place in the studio, but they're listening to it and like, huh, why doesn't that sound like we want it to? It's like, well, because the last 20 records you've listened to like that have had that auto-tune cranked on it so hard that it creates a different effect in the voices that sound a certain way. So producers are adding that to just singular lead vocals as well as group vocals, and that's in country and pop and R&B and metal and every kind of music I'm hearing right now on the radio. Just about, I'd say 90% of the tracks have this particular auto-tune effect on the lead and group vocals. Whether the original recording was like quote-unquote out of tune or not, it's become used as an effect. So it's like, that's just that sound, and it's just not one I'm particularly fond of, that's all.
And then in your live performance, particularly with the percussive effects, they sound extremely realistic, more so than I've heard in a lot of other a cappella groups that do that sort of thing.
Well, and that is just a matter of the way that we run the sound through the board. We have good sound engineers. All of our different engineers that have been with us on tour, all of them have sung in a cappella groups. Every single one of them has been, they're not just a tech person, they've all sung and sung in a cappella groups and kind of get the style and the sound that we're looking for. But really with the drums, it's primarily just a, we split the channel and we used to use EQ. I mean, we don't process it in any way, do anything else with it. We kind of split the mic into two channels, one of them being kind of like what the kick drum sounds like, and just EQ that to bring out and accentuate, you know, the plosives in the microphone, which usually we try to get rid of with a windscreen or something like that, but we try to use those because that's the air hitting the diaphragm of the microphone that makes that sound. And then the second channel is kind of for where the hi-hat and the cymbal sounds and the snare sounds, and we try to accentuate those with the EQ. But that's really about it.
Well, it sounds great.
Thank you.
What's the mix of music that you do in a typical program? I noticed that at least the San Francisco Chronicle referred to you as one of the best pop jazz vocal groups in the world. Is that a fair general characterization?
Yeah, both of those things are present. There are definitely some things that are definitely kind of poppy, catchy, fun kind of tunes. And we all definitely have kind of a love of jazz music and more intense chord structures. So you might hear kind of a thick jazz ballad as well as kind of a funky R&B kind of groove tune, or, you know, even the My Funny Valentine that I think we'll hear at some point on the program is, you know, it's a jazz kind of standard song, but the vibe that we give it is kind of more like a kind of a Jill Scott neo-soul groove. In the opening tune that you played, the Come Together, obviously is kind of a Beatles rocker, and ours is a little poppier and funkier. So we try to do some interesting takes on some of those covers, but we do like a variety of things like that.
You mentioned Harry Connick Jr. Big Band. That's a sound that you managed to reproduce with your sextet as well. How do you manage that? That's not one of the samples
well,
I've got here.
You know, a lot of times, I'm kind of even referring when you were asking about the drums, mm-hmm. having them sound like that, and then with the group sound like a big band. Well, there's a tune we do that's actually from the book of the Woody Herman Orchestra, and you know, more of that is more about the chords and the way that we sing the stuff. That in that tune, there's not even really kind of imitations of sounds. It's really just singing the music and singing the chords as they go along, and it's kind of an up tempo and just because of the way we sing it, you can obviously hear that it was a big band tune just by doing it. So with the drums, with the drum sounds and the bass sounds and all the kind of imitating a big band or something like that, for us it's not as much about getting the actual sound to be so much like it, because, you know, in reality, when you listen to our beatboxer and then you listen to a drum kit play right after it, our brain then finally hears, oh, that doesn't really sound anything like it. We kind of use the audience's mind against itself, I guess. So giving the illusion of those sounds and the brain having heard those sounds before, it makes them sound more like them than they really are. But for us, mostly, it's that the music is more appropriate. You know, it's no good if Jeff sounds exactly like a bad drummer.
Well,
if that makes sense.
I hope that that's true, yeah.
If he said, wow, that guy sounds just like a guy that doesn't play guitar very well, then that doesn't help us any. It's more important that musically it's happening.
Yeah, right. Talk a little bit about some of your collaborations. I notice here it's been pretty diverse. Natalie Cole, Ray Charles, and then Sheryl Crow, Liza Minnelli. Have you had any favorite collaborations?
Those particular ones weren't necessary collaborations with us together. Those were appearances, you know, at the same concert, kind of in the same bill with them. And the Ray Charles was actually probably my favorite. We did a set before his show, and Ray used to show up at the venue, you know, minutes before he was going on. All the check and all the band, everything was all set up well before he was ever there, and he would just get there right before the show, go to the show, off the stage and he's gone. But his manager really liked us and asked us to stick around so we could meet him right after his set. And we were there waiting for him, and he asked us to sing something for him, and it was just really fantastic because he was, as he would do, he'd kind of doing his Ray Charles sway and really kind of listen to it, kind of humming along. One of our best, my favorite quotes from anywhere is a nice short one from Ray Charles. Where he said, "Now that's all right." That's all he said. You know, he really liked it. So that was really a treat for us.
You need to put that one up on your website then.
Yeah, oh, I think it was on there somewhere. You know, the stuff gets rotated around. I'm sure it'll make an appearance again.
Yeah, you have a very different favorite quote right now, which we won't even, people can check it out if
okay.
they want. And, I guess we'll go out with one more song. You've already mentioned it, My Funny Valentine. Is this one that is likely to be on the Doudna show Tuesday night?
I would say it's very likely to be on that show. Jarrett and Morton, the newest guys, have just finally kind of finished learning that one. So that one's making its way back into the repertoire. And, you know, Jarrett, actually, you mentioned he's from there. He actually sings in another group that folks may have heard of called Chapter 6.
Yeah.
A group from that area. So if you're fans of him, you'll see a familiar face if you do come to that show.
Yeah, Jarrett Johnson from Bloomington. And we're talking with Trist Curlis here on Live and Local. M-Pact is the name of the group, an a cappella vocal sextet, male vocal sextet, and they're going to be at Doudna Fine Arts Center Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And for more information, you can go either to the M-Pact website, which is m-pact.com. Is that right?
That's right.
And if you want information on tickets for the Doudna performance, go to eiu.edu/Doudna. And that's Doudna. Trist, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was the group M-Pact singing, of course, My Funny Valentine. They're going to be at the Charleston Doudna Fine Arts Center tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the campus of Eastern Illinois University. And for more information, go to eiu.edu/Doudna, Doudna. And that's the better part of the show for today here on Live and Local. I have another local group that we'll hear play before we go out to the Writer's Almanac at 101, if you're staying with us on 90.9 or 106.5 FM. And then we'll go to classical music at 106 PM. Or if you're on 101.1 FM, we'll go to classical music right at 101 PM. Support for our show today is made possible with support from these business partners: Agrigold Hybrids of Mahomet, Anderson Foundation, First National Bank and Trust Company of Clinton, Michael W. Walker Consulting of Urbana. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible. We thank all of our business partners, and as always, we do thank you, friends, who support this station with your financial contributions. Here's a look at our calendar for today. I'd like to have more on it than we've got right now. Let us know about your event or your organization. You can write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-Y-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. But here's what we've got, mostly in Champaign-Urbana. Jesse Johnson is playing acoustic guitar at the Illini Union. Oh, I'm sorry. That was just in the hour just completed. So we'll look to the Illini Union for tomorrow. At noon, it's acoustic guitarist Alex Stern playing tomorrow. The traditional jazz orchestra is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Tuesday night troubadours play at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo piano, jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Caleb Cook is at the Rose Bowl Tavern on Wednesday night at 9. And it's the weekly live traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Looking ahead a bit, on Thursday, Wynton Marsalis and his Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra at the Krannert Center are at the Krannert Center in Urbana at 7:30 Thursday, and also at the Krannert Center, it's the African Company presenting Richard III. That's at 7:30. They'll repeat that performance on Friday at 7:30, and again on Saturday at the same time. It's February Dance, put on by the University of Illinois Dance Department. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7:30 performances, and we'll be having guests to talk about that show on tomorrow's Live and Local from 12 to 1. They won't be here the whole time, but they'll be here for part of that time. And that's what I've got so far. We also have support today for a broadcast from the Corkscrew's Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world by the glass and by the bottle. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from noon to 4. Information is available at 217-337-7704 or on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar. Well, at Bouvon Wine Bar. That's B-U-V-O-N-S. Looking at the rather complicated weather forecasts, there are advisories and watches, including a winter weather advisory started about an hour ago for DeWitt and Macon counties. And it will come into play at 3 o'clock for Champaign, Vermilion, Douglas, Piatt, Moultrie, Coles, and Edgar counties until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. There's a winter weather watch that will go into effect tomorrow morning through Wednesday afternoon for Champaign, Vermilion, Douglas, Piatt, DeWitt, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Coles, and Edgar counties. Ford and Iroquois counties will be under a blizzard watch from Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday afternoon. The forecast otherwise calls for periods of freezing rain, snow, and sleet this afternoon, with little or no snow or sleet accumulation. Ice accumulation, though, will be of up to a quarter of an inch today, high around 28 degrees. Tonight, there will be periods of snow and sleet accumulating up to 1 inch, with ice accumulation of less than a quarter of an inch, low tonight around 19. Tomorrow, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the morning, then snow, sleet, and a chance of freezing rain tomorrow afternoon, with snow and sleet accumulation 3 to 5 inches, ice accumulation up to a quarter of an inch again. Tomorrow's high will be around 25 degrees. And for Wednesday, we expect snow in the morning and snow likely in the afternoon, with windy areas of blowing snow, light accumulation possible on Wednesday, high around 22. We're currently at, got to look around for my thermometer here, 26 degrees at 12:56 Central Time. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's Live and Local. One of our local groups based in Bloomington Normal is a traditional Irish band called Exorna. And here they're playing a pair of tunes called The Moonshiner and Rye Whiskey.
I've been the moonshiner for many a year, and I spent all my money on whiskey and beer. And go to some hollow and I'll set up my still, and I make you a gallon for a 10 shilling bill. I'm a rambler, I'm a gambler, I'm a long ways from home, and if you don't like me, well, leave me alone. I'll eat when I'm hungry, and I'll drink when I'm dry. And the moonshine don't kill me, I'll live till I die. I'll go to some hollow in this country, 10 gallons of wash, and I'll go on a spree. No women to follow, the world is all mine, and I love none so well as I love the moonshine. I'm a rambler, I'm a gambler, I'm a long ways from home, and if you don't like me, well, leave me alone. I'll eat when I'm hungry, I'll drink when I'm dry, and if moonshine don't kill me, I'll live till I die. Oh moonshine, oh moonshine, know how I love thee. You kill me, I'll father, and now you'll try me. Oh bless all moonshiners, and bless all moonshine, for its breath smells as sweet as a dew on the vine. I'm a rambler, I'm a gambler, I'm a long ways from home, and if you don't like me, well, leave me alone. I'll eat when I'm hungry, and I'll drink when I'm dry, and the moonshine don't kill me, I'll live till I die.
Jack of diamonds, I've known you a hold. You robbed my poor pockets of silver and gold. Beefsteak when I'm hungry, red liquor when I'm dry, greenbacks when I'm hard up, heaven when I die.
Rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, I cry. If I don't get rye whiskey, I surely will die.
Well, I'll eat when I'm hungry, I'll drink when I'm dry, and if moonshine don't kill me, I'll live till I die. And if I get drunk, well, my money is my own, and them that don't like me can't let me alone.
Rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, I cry. If I don't get rye whiskey, I surely will die.
Well, if the ocean was whiskey and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and I'd never come. But the ocean ain't whiskey and I ain't no duck, so I'll play these drunken hiccups and trust to my luck.
Rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, I cry. If I don't get rye whiskey, I surely will die.
Rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, I cry. If I don't get rye whiskey, I surely will.